What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Killer Point of View podcast. I am Brian.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are joined here by Joe.
Hello.
And Jamie.
Hey, guys.
We have another fun episode for you guys, hopefully. Before we get into our topics for today, I do have a question for you guys. Ashley, why do you always look at me
because
like that
when I never quite know what's about to come out of your mouth and I have anxiety.
Okay. Well, earlier I was thinking about the greatest horror franchise of all time. Slasher wise, anyway. Certain ones stuck out. Scream, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Child's Play.
The classics.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Halloween. And then I started thinking between those, which one was the best one? And for me, I think I picked Scream. Although I think Friday the 13th is right there, possibly. But I took Scream because Scream only has six films, right? So I took Scream and I compared them to the first six movies of the other franchises. And it's some pretty good matchups and some... I don't know. I was kind of doing a lot of talking to myself in my head today. but I just wanted to know, like, if y'all knew what your favorite horror franchise or what you think the best might be.
Out of slashers.
Just out of those that I named. Or, you know, if you have another one off the top of your head. I know it's kind of it's a loaded question, kind of. It's a lot to think about. So I just thought about. For me, the reason why I said Scream is because of consistency, really. I mean, the story overall makes sense. Even though there may be some things that happen in some films that you may not like or disagree with, I don't think any of the films are unbearable to watch, you know.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, it's like I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, I like Scream's storyline. It's easy to follow, whereas... You look at Friday the 13th, it's like, all right, is this shit supernatural? Is it fucking real?
Yeah,
it gets a little confusing.
Ghostface don't, you know, turn into some fucking supernatural creature or whatever.
Right, Ghostface is a alter ego, a symbol. You know?
It's a symbol,
so, yeah.
Basically.
And that's the kind of something I like about it.
But yeah, I was when I was matching up Scream and Friday the 13th, I was like, oh, this is... Some of these matchups are kind of tough. yeah, because I did like Scream 1 versus Child's Play 1, which I think Scream is better. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, I think Scream was better. And then it started to get a little tough. Well, no, because I think Scream is way better than the original Friday the 13th. But Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street. Made me think a
Halloween.
Little bit.
Halloween would be the biggest contender. against Scream for me. I mean, if you had to tell me which one's scarier, Halloween is scarier.
Yes.
To me,
I would put Scream above the original Halloween. Nightmare on Elm Street, different question, different thing. I don't think I ever answered that myself because I just kept matching up everything. You know, when it comes to like the theme music, mm-hmm. I think A Nightmare on Elm Street beats all of them. Just the theme, I think, is scarier. Mm. Halloween has a more of a bop when in its theme music. Yeah. It's good though. But no, I just kept matching up movies. You know, it was kind of rough. It's a loaded question.
It was a sleepless night. Didn't sleep at all.
It's a loaded question. I just wanted to know if you guys could name yours. Jamie, do you know? I mean, I think I could guess, but...
Yeah. Well, I think based on, you know, the majority of movies that I can watch, what I enjoy watching, I would probably definitely say Halloween, but I would also throw Friday the 13th in there, too.
Okay.
Just like the number of movies out of the franchise that I like and just the enjoyment factor. So okay. Definitely those two franchises.
Okay. Ashley, think you can answer that or not really.
My answer is fairly obvious. It's Scream.
Because you haven't seen.
When I look at. No, I've unfortunately watched all of the Halloween movies. Okay, don't.
I meant like A Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th, Child's Play.
Friday the 13th movies to know that I don't want to watch this motherfucker in space. I don't want to watch him fighting rats in New York.
He fought rats in New York?
I don't know. Didn't he, like, take over Brooklyn or something? I don't fucking know.
He went to Manhattan.
It was Manhattan. Different borough.
My bad.
And he should have fought rats. Would have helped him out.
I don't know.
Now.
That's what I think about when I think about New York. It's just, like, fighting rats on the subway. I don't know. Anyways, but when I look at Scream overall, it's just more cohesive. I enjoy the characters better. I like the whole storyline better. Just, it all works for me. That. So,
Like I said, I think when I was going movie for movie, I think most of Scream beat, you know, the first six out of all franchises. That's what I did. I didn't do my favorites out of the franchise. I just did the first six movies. Mm. And I think that Friday the 13th is the one that was kind of, I was kind of going back and forth because I think Friday the 13th 3 beat Scream 3. I think Friday the 13th 4 beat Scream 4. It's kind of a toss up between Friday the 13th 5 and Scream 5. And then I picked Scream 6 over Friday the 13th 6. But it's really fucking close. Mm. Those some of those matchups for me, but it's just something I thought about earlier. Thought it was something we can probably discuss in full detail later on.
I like those questions. Those are good questions.
But let's get into today's film. Today's episode will be hosted by Jamie. So whenever you're ready, take it away.
So tonight we're going to talk about the 2002 horror movie called May. I'll read the synopsis for those who may not know about the movie. A socially awkward veterinary assistant with a lazy eye and obsession with perfection descends into depravity after developing a crush on a boy with perfect hands. So that's the IMDb synopsis. And the movie stars Angela Bettis, who plays May. And honestly, I was not familiar with her as an actress. I don't know if you guys have seen anything else that she's been in.
Off the top of my head, no, but I am looking through her discography, her movie catalog right now, though. Okay. But I haven't seen anything that jump out yet.
Yeah. But I thought she did a phenomenal job as May. She really, you know, brought life to the character, and I thought she was great. Mm-hmm. Definitely Jeremy Sisto, I feel like most of us probably know from Wrong Turn.
Yes.
But obviously he's been around for a while. Clueless is another movie that definitely stands out that he's in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was in Clueless? Damn, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
He was also in, was it Law & Order or one of those?
Everybody's been on Law & Order.
No, but he was like a main character, I believe.
He was a cop, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. He was on the Homicide one, so the original Law & Order.
Yeah, he was on one of those.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I remember that.
And then the other, like, main character, I'd say, of the movie is Anna Faris, which I think most of us know from Scary Movie.
Hell yeah. It's hard to watch her in these kinds of movies where it's kind of, like, serious because all you do is you see Scary Movie.
No, literally her character.
Like, she's never serious, though. Like, as a character, she's never serious.
Yeah, in this movie, she really wasn't even serious.
This movie was literally her character from Scary Movie.
Only more
slutty. I shit you not. It was literally the same. I was like...
I agree.
And I was thinking, I was like, these both did come out around the same time. Yeah, she literally just fucking read two scripts and was like, you know what? Kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's funny, though.
And then there's a few more, you know, people scattered throughout the movie, but I don't really think anyone else was really super famous, you know.
No.
Yeah. The movie is, if you haven't seen it, is streaming on Pluto and Roku channel right now. So.
And Tubi, I believe.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
Oh, is it on Tubi as well? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I watched it on Pluto. So, but this movie I had actually only seen one other time, and it was probably the past few months that I had watched it. It was actually recommended by someone on Instagram. I think I had posted something about female slashers, and someone had said May, and I'm like, I don't even know who that is. And she said, oh, it's a really good movie, you know, from 2002. You should definitely check it out. And then I think someone else was like, oh yeah, it's really good. So, you know, I ended up watching it. And since we decided to do it on the podcast, I obviously wanted to watch it again. And I was thinking to myself, you know, am I going to like it as much as I did the first time? Is it going to have the same effect on me? And yeah, it was definitely for me the same effect. Really enjoyed it the first and second time. So I'm assuming none of you had seen this though prior to now.
I have not.
Okay. Ashley, now.
No, nope.
Okay. All right. So I guess if you guys want to just kind of tell me your initial thoughts, just in a nutshell, watching it for the first time.
Joe.
Overall, I'd say it was definitely worth a watch. I don't want to dive into the questions yet, but I would say it definitely classifies as a horror film to me. So I would put it more in the psychological horror aspect, but I'll go in more detail on that when we get to the questions. So, but yeah, overall I enjoyed it. Is it something I would run out and see again? Probably not, but it was definitely worth a watch.
Okay.
Ashley.
You look depressed.
Extreme secondhand embarrassment.
For you?
Yes.
Secondhand embarrassment. What is that?
It's like you've when you're watching really, it's when you're watching like really embarrassing, cringy things, and like you feel embarrassed for the characters, like for the things you're watching. It happens to
like
me all
if
the
you
time.
See somebody like fall walking across the stage,
you feel
or
sorry
something.
For somebody who does something embarrassing. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was just like
you really got that.
Yes, oh. the whole time I was just like,
I character or for like the actor or
all of it, just like for the for the first like what hour and 20 minutes it was just really random shit. Like we got blind bloody children, there's a demented doll, that we have Anna Faris being a raging lesbian. Like I'm just so confused. It just is like a clusterfuck of randomness, and then it finally turns into 10 minutes of horror, I guess.
Well, I think it was scary a lot sooner than that. Well, not scary, but it was definitely more horror going on before then, way before then.
Okay.
I thought so.
That's fine.
Some chick just starts smelling motherfuckers' hands. That's alarming.
Maybe he used really nice hand lotion.
I don't care. Right? I don't care. I enjoyed the film. It's not something that I've seen before. I haven't heard of it until you mentioned it. I think it was a movie recommendation before that you gave.
Yeah, I had recommended on an episode. Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't know what to expect because I didn't read the synopsis. Like outside of like when you recommended it, I completely forgot about it. And but like I didn't watch a trailer or anything, so I had no idea what the movie was about when I watched it the other day.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy it. It was a lot of made you think about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Or at least for me it did. That didn't happen for you, Ashley, no.
No, it definitely made me think things, yes.
Like what?
Okay, first of all, is this like set in like current times? Is that what was going on?
I mean, it was 2001.
That's what I'm saying. Like it was current to the time that it came out. Is that right?
I believe so. It never said anything otherwise.
Well, I didn't know if I should just assume or whatever. Okay.
I mean, but why does that matter?
Because I'm confused on why they went straight into turning her into a pirate instead of giving this little girl glasses and fucking scarring her for life, because I'm pretty sure glasses existed in the early 2000s, and I'm familiar with the process of fixing a lazy eye. So if it's extreme, which hers did look extreme, you can patch it, but it doesn't need to be done all of the time, and regularly you would strengthen it with glasses. So to immediately turn her into fucking pirate Patty yeah. and scar her for life was not a good choice.
And that, like, that patch was like, you know, they got children size patches, right?
And they have like clear ones skin that ones. Yeah, yeah, they just yeah. go over skin, your eye. Yeah. You don't like they might as well give her a fucking hook for a hand at that point. Like,
yeah, they were fucking that kid over. They were fucking that kid over. Okay.
Guess what? It's just a movie, guys.
It is, but that's how we like to dive into the psychology of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't stand a chance, honestly.
Yeah.
No, it's because her mother was a fucking perfectionist. Her mother was like a wannabe Stepford wife. Did you ever notice that when she was doing like happy birthday with her daughter? And
I have something
about
that.
She was just like a blue collar, you know, sweaty, you know, guy and everything. And she was like just Mrs. Perfect.
Just get to the cake already.
Yeah, he was like, give me some fucking beers. This is stupid.
there's a reason for that.
So.
I think, anyway.
Okay.
So what do you have next, Jamie?
So we can just get into the questions. So the first one was, what subgenre of horror would you classify this movie?
Comedy.
Okay, wow. I wasn't expecting that.
I was laughing
a lot.
No,
I definitely laughed at some parts. I wouldn't say it's a comedy.
It was funny.
But it's definitely funny. Some moments I laughed.
Like, I could, and I don't know if it was back to the whole embarrassment thing, but I could not stop laughing. Like, when I think it was the dude, he was like, want to come see my room? And I was like, what the fuck? You met this girl 3 seconds ago. This is how you get murdered. Like, what are you doing?
You're also someone who said you would go into a van willingly to go
I'm not going to somebody's bedroom.
Okay, but you said you would send letters and shit to serial killers.
This is bad.
Yeah.
It is fucking bad.
Because they can take you anywhere.
Hypothetically. Okay.
What the fuck?
Okay.
If someone actually came up to me, I'm not getting in their fucking van.
So you think it's a goblin?
Yes, like, I laughed. Wait, like, I don't think that it was horror at all, except for, like I said, the last 10 minutes, so.
And Joe, what did you say?
So I said psychological horror. I mean, there's, while I was watching this movie, you know, there was, like, a sense of, tragedy, because we know that her upbringing left her socially underdeveloped, and, you know, when she was facing rejection as an adult and everything, it basically just caused her to have a mental breakdown. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I kind of can sympathize with her, because when I was young, I was kind of socially awkward as well. I was like that until I just, you know, developed the art of not giving a fuck what people thought of me anymore. So, but obviously for her, in her case, she did not. And it's also because I've seen people like nowadays, I've seen people that are like not as extreme as her May's case, but some people who just, they don't know how to socialize. It kind of, I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but she kind of reminded me like she may have suffered from autism or whatever. She just didn't understand social cues and everything. I mean, obviously, you know, somebody's falling asleep at a fucking restaurant. You don't put your hand or your head up against their hand. That's just fucking weird.
I mean, she really liked hands.
I can see that, but it was just, so, I mean, psychological horror. And yeah, to me, it was also kind of like a tragedy to watch.
Yeah.
I don't believe in socially awkwardness.
What do you mean?
Have you ever seen me outside of the house?
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by social awkwardness?
I'm speaking for me. I'm not speaking for other people. I'm just speaking for me. My roommate caught me that before, and I was not socially awkward. I just don't want to talk to you or your fucking friend that's here. I'd rather go in my room. Like, I'm not socially awkward.
I wouldn't say that's awkward. I'd say it's antisocial.
Well, that's what she called me, was socially awkward. That's what she said. I wasn't antisocial. I was just, the shit y'all talking about right now at this moment, I do not want to talk about.
It's boring. I'm dull. I'm yawning. I'm
going to my room. The fuck? But no, I would consider this to be slasher overall, even though it took quite a bit of time to get to that point, I think it's a psychological slasher.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the film was psychological to me. And, you know, it's not one of those, it's not your typical slasher, you know, cat and mouse chase people around type of slasher film. But I think it had slasher elements for sure. Mm. You know, not a you know, Friday the 13th type slasher, but more like a American Psycho type of slasher. Like, it's not It's not just cut and dry.
It's also interesting that you say it, because it's like this movie, even though you call it slasher, it's like the first half of the movie, there is nothing evil, nothing bad's happened yet. She's just a socially awkward person. I mean, there's obviously signs that there's shit's going to happen. Like, she likes to do, like, self-mutilation. She likes to inflict pain on herself. And I was like, whoa, you're one of those kinky girls.
Yeah, no, she is a psycho.
So, yeah, but you could definitely see the impending terror that was coming. But, yeah,
the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. What would you classify it, Jamie?
Yeah, for me, 100% psychological horror. And like I think I said before, if you go in expecting just a slasher movie, then you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you go in knowing that it's going to be more psychological versus slasher, I looked up like the exact definition of what psychological horror is. And it says, focuses on mental, emotional, and psychological states to frighten, disturb, or unsettle its audience. So to me, like Ashley said, I felt uncomfortable in certain parts too, but I think to me, that's what the director was going for, was to make you uncomfortable. So
yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that it was obviously done well, to make you uncomfortable, to make you sit there and be like, oh, my skin is crawling. I don't
want what made you uncomfortable.
Just the interactions.
Cause you're talking about the secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. Okay. Next question.
At any point in the movie, did you sympathize with May?
Joe, I think you kind of...
Yeah, overall, yes. I mean, there's clear indicators that her mental issues stem from her upbringing. But, I mean, however, as you get older, one is still held accountable for their actions. So, obviously, when she started killing people, I was like, all right, bitch, you got to go. You got to go.
For me, I checked out long before then. It was, what's the guy's name? Jim Morrison. Adam, when she bit him on the lip and started to body paint herself, I was like, yeah.
I mean, what did you expect, though, after he showed her that weird-ass video?
Yeah,
that. He was like, I made this video, and here, this girl's going to bite this guy's finger off. There's going to be blood everywhere, but then I'm going to act weird when you make me bleed.
Yeah. That don't mean anything just because he showed her the
video. Why would you show me something like that and then get all weird when I'm trying to do the same thing?
It's a horror movie.
Well, no, that's true.
I can show you fucking Black Christmas. That don't mean I want you to make cookies out of my fucking back.
Well,
but he made the movie. Yeah, though.
He specifically made it, brought it over, and was like, "Let's watch this." And
Then
I think she was. I think she was kind of like insisting on seeing it. And by that point, they already talked about she was in detail about her job. Like she saw blood, guts,
she was
and everything
into weird shit.
So he kind of, I think, already had a feeling that she was into that stuff.
Yeah,
don't kink shame her.
I'm not kink shaming, but
it's not my kink. I don't like
bitch,
that
if
shit,
you
that
bite
shit.
My fucking face, we're gonna have an issue. I don't, do your own thing, but don't bite my fucking face off.
I mean, don't bring over your video of people getting their fingers bit off.
No, hell no. If I show you a fucking zombie film, that don't mean I want you to eat me.
I don't think that's the same, but alright.
No. Fuck that. You gonna get a fucking boot to the face? Oh, shit. I sympathize with her up until that point, because it kind of seemed like she was sheltered most of her life.
And,
probably bullied a lot in school and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you do feel sorry for her, but she definitely got into some weird shit.
For sure.
Yeah, I can't ride with you anymore. This is where I get off. What about you, Jamie?
Oh, me. Okay, I didn't know if Ashley answered it.
But. Oh, wait, did you answer?
No, but I mean, pretty much the same sentiment. I mean, I do like that we did get, a little bit of a glimpse into her childhood, because I hate when movies be like, you have to feel sorry for this person, but we're going to give you absolutely no context behind it. And then it's like, I don't feel sorry for you at that point. So, I mean, to kind of see what she went through. And then just like Joe said, at some point you have to kind of be accountable for your actions. Can't just be out here killing people because, you got mental issues. So,
for sure. Yeah, I mean, I definitely sympathize with her, throughout the movie, because, like I said before, she's just so socially awkward. Like, it does make you uncomfortable. But what was kind of irritating is, especially Adam, Like he said, I like weird when she said something, and then, you know, she does weird shit, and then he's just like, okay, no, that's too weird for me. So yeah, like make up your mind. Like, you know, she's weird, so just don't go out with her.
I mean,
you know,
he kept coming back. Like, pick a struggle.
Weird is
either you want my weird shit or you don't. You can't have both.
Weird is fine. There's biting my face. Yeah, there's levels. There's levels, okay?
But he kept coming back. Like, he kept making a point to, like, reappear.
Everybody likes something weird, okay? Yeah. Everybody likes something weird.
There's a difference between, you know, getting your lip bitten or getting somebody biting your lip and fucking ball gags. I mean, it's just shit's different.
That is true.
That's a fact.
I'm like, not saying that by experience, for the record. I don't know.
Have you used a ball gag?
Are we going into the after dark section of this podcast?
But that's weird. But, you know, actual, like, physical, what do they call that? Is that sadism? It's like sadomasochism. That shit's, that's the level of weird that it's like, no.
But again, there's levels.
Yes.
It's just different levels. Everybody has a different tolerance for stuff. Mm-hmm. There's some people who like pain, so they like tattoos, but they won't do some extreme shit.
Right.
There's a line, and clearly his line was being bit on the lip.
Jesus Christ.
She clearly never heard the term no teeth. So,
well, I think didn't it allude to the fact that this, like, weird ass doll taught her how to kiss? So, like, maybe she didn't even do it on purpose. Maybe she just...
No, I think she might have, like, kissed the glass or something.
I don't know. Didn't she get pissed at the doll and, like, punch it or something in the glass and, like, was like, bitch, why would you tell me how to kiss? Like,
yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah.
We'll get there.
Her issue is she didn't need a boyfriend. With her issue, she needed therapy and she needed friends first.
Yeah.
Healthy
yeah.
friends, yeah. not the girl at the fucking, not her coworker. That's not a healthy friend.
I mean, she tried to fuck all her friends.
She definitely tried to make them feel welcome.
She wanted everybody to feel the love. So,
oh dear.
Jamie, what about you? When we on the sympathize part still, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. When did you start to sympathize with her?
Oh, I mean, definitely at the beginning, because I just, you know, could tell that she had a terrible childhood, and like we said before, she'd probably been bullied. And then, you know, when you see her as an adult, you just know right away that she's just very different.
Yeah.
And clearly doesn't know how to act around people, you know. So, I don't know. It's hard, because I do feel obviously really bad for her. But then, like you guys said, it doesn't mean that you can just go kill people and work that way. Yeah. Got to find a happy medium.
Right.
So next question is, May a sister movie to American Psycho, in your guys' opinion?
Joe, you want to start first? Or Ashley, do you want to start first?
No, Ashley can go first.
That's fine, because my simple answer is no.
Why not?
I don't think that they correlate unless, I mean, obviously there's the psychological aspect. There's the needing therapy so you don't kill people aspect. But, like, I don't think that they're that closely related, so...
Okay.
My opinion.
Joe?
This was an interesting question. I mean, I suppose it would depend on one's view of American Psycho, because I know when we talked about it, that was a long, it was like, what, 2 or 3 hour episode?
And it was pretty long.
Yeah.
Pretty
so, I mean, to awesome. Me, I mean, to me, in a nutshell, American Psycho is about, you know, how external factors such as, like, consumerism, superficial competition, desire to fit in, all that, all those things can cause someone to have, like, an existential crisis. Whereas with this movie, May, it's, I mean, like I've said before, you know, her character has just failed to develop, you know, like, the necessary social skills to even assimilate into society like a normal person, and finds herself struggling and facing rejection, and it obviously just sends her into a murderous spiral.
So your answer is no.
My answer is no. It's just, it's mm-hmm. not. So. But then again, American Psycho is seen differently to a lot of people. So, I mean, for some people, yeah, but for me, no.
My answer is yes.
Okay.
For the same exact reasons you just named. Ironically.
Okay.
American Psycho, to me, like at its core, like when you strip everything away, no pun intended. Ew. I just wanted you to think about that fucking scene again because it was funny.
Which one?
When he's running through the hall naked with the chainsaw.
Oh.
I don't wanna.
No, American Psycho is like when you take everything away, is really about people's view on things, their point of view on a lot of things. And I think this film does the same thing because I think it's really about imperfections because we see this throughout the entire film. Her mom, you know, when we first see her mom, she's putting a patch on her head, seems really nice. But then at her birthday, when she was trying to take off the wrapper for the doll or whatever, you know, she kind of seemed like she had some issues. She was trying to open the thing up and her mom was like, you know, you can't open it or whatever. It just seemed like she had some anger built up or hidden anger issues probably.
Oh yeah.
We see the one guy who goes to the vet and he's talking about his three-legged dog.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Which would be imperfection in a way. Which was crazy ass fucking story.
Did you bring the leg in? Oh, that part fucked me up.
How did your dog miss a leg? Like, how did you leave for, I don't know, he said a couple weeks or something like that, come back and it only got three legs? Like, what the fuck happened? But obviously May has her own imperfection. And that's from other people's point of view. You know, to her, it may not be an imperfection, but other people see it as an imperfection. So she kind of started to see it as an imperfection as a kid. So she grew up thinking like this isn't perfect. So I have to try to fix it at some point. What else? What's Anna Faris character's name? I forgot.
Holly.
Oh, yeah,
she clearly had some fucking issues.
Yeah.
But May saw that her neck was beautiful and stuff like that. But, you know.
I feel like that's a great compliment, though, because some people really do, like.
Yeah, some people have turkey necks. You know,
yeah.
It's nasty.
I mean, I've never personally complimented anyone's neck, but, like, yeah, I would.
I was going to make a joke, but that's really just not right.
What?
I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But no, there was a. They kind of showed it pretty quick, like when she went to go see Anna Faris' character's name. I forgot her name. But when she went to go see her, she saw like that little pimple or whatever on her neck. Like it was just something she noticed. It was very small, but I don't think that was there before. The her friend that was in the back that we only saw her legs for a long time, whatever, May commented on her legs, said that she had nice legs. I guess her imperfection would be that she's a hooker.
Why does that have to be an imperfection?
It depends on who you ask.
Again, this is people's things that they would call imperfections. The girl who was a hooker or whatever, she may not think it's an imperfection.
Like, I feel like hooker's offensive. I feel like you can't say that.
The hooker thought it was
okay, fine. Let's tone it down. The whore.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think that's worse. But they said hooker in the movie, which is
did they? I must have missed that part.
I think so.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I must have missed that part.
There was something about money being exchanged. I remember that part.
Oh no! When Anna Faris told her to like shut up, she said "shut up, hooker." I believe.
Yeah,
I think that was the exact line.
Yeah, she yelled.
But you know, just a lot of the characters that we saw, everyone had their own imperfections.
Mm-hmm. Except for Mr. Hands.
His imperfection would be the stuff.
Her.
Well, in my opinion, it would be the stuff in his room. Even though she didn't see that as an imperfection, but it's because she liked weird shit. It was just a bunch of weird shit.
I couldn't even tell you what that display was.
I mean, it was a bunch of stuff in his room.
I remember was her poking him with that weird little springy knife.
All the stuff in his room.
When I was a kid, those things were cool.
All the stuff he had in his room was like like Jigsaw before Jigsaw.
Like, yeah, just, that's what I was gonna say. It was like Saw stuff.
Yeah, like that. But yeah, you know, that would be an imperfection to people who think that stuff is weird. So I just think everybody had their own imperfections, and I think that's what the movie was trying to show us, was that nobody is perfect. We all have things that are not perfect or imperfect about us. So I do think that, like, that type of, even though that's not the same exact thing as American Psycho, I think that it really focused on like one thing and made you look at it from different point of views, or at least that's how I saw it. But what about you, Jamie?
I don't know if I would call it a sister movie, but I definitely think that May and Patrick Bateman, you know, do have some things in common. They're both obviously mentally unstable, and they both kind of wanted to be seen, you know, by other people. So I think they definitely have those two things in common.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would do it to a degree. I just think, even though they had, I mean, even though they kind of like have the same themes, they're kind of polar opposites. Like, for example, Bateman wanted to stand out because he was just like everyone else, same suit, same hairstyle, same job title. Whereas May kind of stands out already, just not in a good way. Because she's socially awkward, and, you know, May wanted to be perfect, whereas Bateman kind of on the surface already was perfect, at least to everybody around him, and then he just, under the surface, he was running around naked with a chainsaw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he had time to put his shoes on to do that and to run around with the chainsaw. I'll never forget that.
That show was funny.
You can run faster with shoes on, I guess. Like, if you were going to put one thing on to help you, that'd be it.
I guess.
It depends on the reason you're running.
Right, right.
It depends, trust me. What's the next question?
Was the Susie doll supernatural?
To me, I would have to say no, because I think adding a supernatural element to the film, even if it's done so lightly as this one was, I mean, it kind of subtracts, in my opinion, how disturbing the film is as a psychological horror. I mean, because, like I said, you know, at first she's kind of like, we kind of sympathize with her in the beginning. She's kind of just like a victim of just a shitty upbringing and everything. And now, and then she becomes this killer, and we see how she kind of falls into that. So, I mean, to add the supernatural element to it, it kind of, I don't know, it kind of robs that psychological element from it. So I would say no.
Ashley.
I'm also going to say no. I mean, I think they kind of wanted to allude to that a little bit, but I think she just has a really unnatural attraction to this doll because, you know, her mom was like, oh, if you can't make any friends, then just play with this weird doll and that can be your friend. And so, like, she has this weird relationship with the doll, but there's nothing really there supernatural.
I'm going to say yes, but not in the way that you may think. Like, it's not fucking Annabelle or Chucky or, you know, some shit like that. I think the doll was a metaphor for, it's like a security blanket for her. Every time somebody did something wrong to her, the glass would shatter, and it was kind of like her, like that doll kind of represented something telling her not to continue down this road. And then when it eventually breaks, that's when she kind of loses herself.
Yeah.
And I do have something about that also, but I'll wait. But I think it was supernatural, but not in the supernatural type of way, if that makes any sense at all. What about you, Jamie?
I don't really think that it was supernatural. I think, you know, you hear May talking to the doll, and I think she thinks the doll talks to her, but I obviously don't really think the doll does. So, no, I just think, I mean, I do agree with what you said about how, like, the glass breaking, and then obviously the final, when the doll kind of gets destroyed in the the classroom. Like, that was definitely like the final breaking point for May. I do agree with that.
I think, you know, kind of going back to American Psycho, I forgot what point in the movie where he like completely go nuts, like for real.
You mean like when he's like shooting the cops and blowing
up? Yeah. I think after that glass shatter completely, I think possibly that everything, you know, her killing everybody was made up in her head.
It's not what the ending showed.
I don't think so.
In the ending, you know, it's like the surprise was that her doll actually moved its arm and brushed her hair. It was kind of like,
either this motherfucker was Frankenstein or it was in her head.
Exactly. This was all in her head.
I think it was in her head.
Yeah.
Like after I think the dog, when she was in the class with the kids, which was some fucked up shit, but when that dog glass shattered, I think that was her brain. Like her mind just shattering.
Well, that doll,
and everything was just,
that doll was kind of like a symbol of her, I guess you could say, her comfort zone. It's like her mother, her mother, instead of pushing her daughter to, you know, put herself out there to experience discomfort, because what's that movie that we watched, you know, Discomfort's the Point or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I like that.
Exactly. So discomfort is the point of growing, of personal development and growing and everything.
That movie was so fucking good.
So, she kind of, her mother should have pushed her out there more, but instead, you know, you can't make friends, so here's a doll. Be friends with a doll. And it's like, that's not a fucking healthy way to do that. And when
girls like their toys.
And when her doll got,
no pun intended,
her doll got broken, her like comfort zone just completely shattered, and she felt vulnerable, and instead of just, you know, clamoring up, she went fucking batshit crazy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Did you answer the question, Jamie? Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. What's the next question?
What is one horror movie with imperfections that you consider perfect?
Joe, you have nothing.
Nothing. I kind of had a hard time figuring this one out. I mean, I understand the question, but it's like, I'm trying to think of a movie that has imperfections that I think is perfect, and it's like, if a movie has imperfections, I don't think it's perfect. I mean,
well, isn't there like a movie that you would rate like 5 out of 5 stars or 10 out of 10, or?
But it has imperfections, or?
Yes, I can name.
Okay, some. Okay, fine. I will. I tell you what, I do have one that comes to mind. I watched our next movie that we're going to be reviewing. I watched that and I noticed a lot of shit, and I was like, wow. I liked this shit back then. It's still a good movie, and I'll tell everybody that's a House on Haunted Hill, the 1999 version.
Yes,
with Jeffrey Rush, and there was a lot of imperfections with that movie. We'll go into detail on that episode, but it's still a good movie. I still enjoy it. So,
Ashley,
I don't fucking know. There was a couple, and I was trying to like look at like things that people nitpicked on these, and I think I'm actually gonna say my least favorite movie, but I consider it perfect because it scarred me for life. So, dun dun dun, The Blair Witch Project, because I know people talk a lot of shit about that one, and I think a lot of people don't like the whole found footage thing, but I think the way that they set the whole thing up, the atmosphere, the acting, the characters, my mental decline after watching the movie, I think it was pretty damn perfect. I think they did their job, so got to go with that one, I guess.
Jimmy, you want to go first?
Oh, I didn't matter.
Yeah, you could go first.
You want me to?
Yes.
I mean, I feel like there's so many movies that I could say this about, because there's tons of movies that I absolutely love. And, you know, like I said to Joe, I would rate tons of movies like 5 out of 5 stars, but are they perfect? No, but to me they are. Even like something like Halloween H2O, like obviously it's not perfect. You know, like Michael is not really that great in that movie. I think there's probably should have been more kills and stuff, but to me, it's perfection still. Like, it's one of my favorite movies. And so I guess that's, you know, something like Halloween H2O is what I would say.
I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause there's definitely some things in that movie that you like when you really think about it, like, why did they do that? But love the movie mm-hmm. anyway. So
right.
I agree with that. Mine's is Friday the 13th, 2009. For starters, every movie has imperfection. Like, there's no such thing as a perfect movie from a
right
technical standpoint. But mm-hmm. I think it's a perfect movie. I mean, the kills were great. Everything you want in a slasher, that movie has. I mean, mm-hmm. I say it all the time: boobs, booze, and blood. And you know, it just, sure, there's some things that they could have did differently to make it better, but I don't think they need to. I think it's fine the way it is. I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's just one of my favorite films.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Yep. Ashley, you were shaking your head. You're shaking your head. No, you disagree.
To what?
I don't know. You're shaking your head.
Oh, I was shaking my head to what you said about needing those three things for it to be a good movie. But
I don't think I said that.
I was also trying to remember. I don't remember which one that is.
The 2009
Is that the one with the super douchey guy in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Trent is in okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't ever remember.
I was thinking of his death while you were talking about it. I was like, yeah, that death was great.
Like, for example, the, you know, the opening scene, which is super long, that can be looked at as an imperfection. Like, it didn't need to be that long. However,
it was so perfect.
It was perfect. I love the entire opening scene. So,
yeah,
it did catch me off guard when I first saw it, though. That's boom. It showed the title of the movie. Yeah. I was like, whoa, okay.
I thought the movie was almost over with.
I thought we were in it already.
Like, goddamn. And like, is I really wish they would have like split that up, because that opening scene really could have been its own movie with mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. characters.
Yeah.
I just,
the rest of the movie could have been like the sequel to that movie.
Yeah, like it was just perfect to me, in my opinion. What else do you have?
Just School of Horror, if you guys want to go over that.
All right.
If you just want to say how you would rate each one, you don't have to go into detail if you don't want to. But.
Okay.
You want to go like one category at a time around the table, or just do all of them down the line? It's up to you guys.
I mean, we could go one down the line. Holy shit.
Okay. Plot. Overall, I'd give this I'd give it a B. It kept me intrigued, you know, especially because, like, you know, like the first half of the movie, there's nothing happening yet. So then it starts getting violent. I mean, so it was kind of like building up to the bloody climax kind of a thing. So I'd give that a B.
Ashley.
Plot is a C. If it was very all over the place, very random. And then, like I said, last 10 minutes, we finally get to it. So.
I'll give it a B minus. It definitely was a lot of build up, but I think it paid off at the end. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a B minus. Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, we're doing plot, right?
Yes,
that's the first one. So I would definitely say an A. I think, you know, it is a slow burn kind of through the movie, but I think, like you said, it's wanting to build it up to what the finale is going to bring. Mm-hmm. So I still think, you know, that they did a really good job even though it is kind of slow, but I don't feel like I was ever bored when I watched it. Like, it kept me entertained and it kept me like wanting to know what was going to happen.
Right. Joe.
Acting. I don't really want to blame the actors. I'd rather blame the director, but I'd say the acting was, I'll give it a C+. I mean, like, for example, Anna Faris, she's the same fucking person. I think, I'm forgetting the actor's name, but the,
you don't think she did a good job?
I'm not saying she did.
What a fucking scalpel was.
No. I'm not saying that she did a bad job. That's the thing. It's like everybody kind of did a good job, but it just seemed like the scenarios were a little unrealistic in some aspects. For example, I guess if you're into that thing, but her seeing her like at the office, like cutting her finger open and everything, she's like, oh, that's cool. Do it to me. It's like, what?
I mean,
that's fucking crazy. That and,
yeah, but she was weird too.
Yes. Yeah, no shit. And I mean, fucking.
I think that was the point of the movie. Like, everyone is weird.
Mm-hmm. What's his face? The her love interest, the guy she has a crush on. I mean,
Adam.
Yeah, he's. I don't know, man. You got to learn to read. Stop thinking with your little head and think with your big head. This bitch is somebody you should stay away from, okay? My fucking red flags.
Like crazy.
Yeah. My red flags would have been, I would have saw them all and just like, nope, I'm going away from this. And
what would have been the first red flag?
Her social awkwardness would have, I would not have been interested in somebody like that. That's just because you can tell this is somebody who's probably doesn't understand how life works. I mean, there's just something about it that I don't want to say it's a turnoff, but it's like this person does not have a whole lot of real life experience. And so they need friends more than they need a, you know, because obviously relationships are a lot more complex than friendships. Yes. So this is somebody who's clearly not ready for that. So that and the most, I didn't mention it, but the most terrifying thing actually in this movie to me was that fucking guy's hairdo who was in her apartment that she killed. That was fucking scary. The spiky
hair. It was weird.
I saw that shit. I was like, okay, this is garbage. I would have actually cut his hair before I killed him. Like, fuck you, come here.
That's funny.
That shit was crazy. But so C+ for acting.
Ashley.
Okay, I gotta piggyback off that real quick because the most horrific part of this movie for me was that bitch coming home talking about I've been drinking vodka all night, and then she's standing there chugging milk out of the carton. Who drinks vodka all night long and then comes home to chug a nice glass of milk?
I would have fucking puked.
I didn't
catch that.
I did. Because I was like, this is some sick shit.
I didn't know what she was drinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, she spilled it on the floor.
She stabbed her, she spilled it all on the floor. Right. So it was blood and milk mixed together.
Yeah, and I actually like how that was filmed. Like it was...
the kill?
Like the... No, it showing the blood and the milk. Oh. It reminded me of Deep Red a little bit. Movie from the 70s.
Gotcha.
Or 60s. 70s. One of those. Sorry.
It's okay. As far as acting, I think I'm going to go with a B. Like I said, I thought this shit was funny. And I think they did a really good job, obviously making me feel so uncomfortable. I think they did a good job. So go with B.
Okay. I'll give it a B-. I think everybody played their character well, like what their character was supposed to do. I mean, the cast isn't really that big. Like, it's not that many people in the movie. So it's kind of a small film. But I think the acting was good. What about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I would say a B as well. Like I said, I think the girl Angela that played May, I thought she was outstanding. And, you know, like you said, there really aren't that many people in the movie, but they all did play their character, I think, the way they should have. So, yeah, I would say a B overall. Mm.
Directing.
Well, like I was, you know, saying, I'd rather blame the director than the actors, because like you guys said, the actors did their part. I mean, I probably would have gone a little bit more different with some of the acting, but I mean, in my opinion, I think directing was like a B-, so wasn't too terrible. And obviously the story, I mean, which we'll get to that point, but it's like the message I think that the director was trying to convey in a sense was spot on. So being a psychological horror and everything.
Ashley?
I don't know what I'm supposed to be judging on this part.
We have to have like a pre-brief every single time about this.
Because we will. I never know what the fuck. When you say directing, like, are you talking about like the way that things are shot? Are you talking about like?
That would be cinematography, would it not?
I don't fucking know. That's my problem.
Well, I sent you this nice little.
I have it, but I don't have time to read a novel right now. So
I don't know what I did with that. I got it somewhere.
Well, I have mine pulled up.
Just give directing, me a brief rundown.
Which is vision and execution.
Okay, C.
Shows unity and...
Nope. C. You can stop there. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, here it is. Cool. I got it.
I will say B as well. I think the vision was pretty clear. And I think it was... executed the way that the film called for, really. It's, you know, all movies aren't supposed to be the same fucking thing. So I think this movie was done the way it was supposed to be done. So I give it a B. What about you, Jamie?
I would say an A for directing, because I think, like, the director, you know, like I said before, made you feel things and made you... I don't know. I guess it kind of goes with storytelling too, though. Like, it told a good story. So I feel like those kind of can go together sometimes. Not all the time, I guess. But I would say an A, though, for directing and storytelling.
Okay. Dialogue, which consists of storytelling and context.
Oh, can, shit.
You don't have that, Joe?
No, I got that. I still have the old, the old picture. I was going by that.
Ah,
I didn't know. I forgot you changed it. Hold on. Let me find it. School of Horror, plot, acting, directing. Where is it?
It's right after.
Dialogue. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a novel. Yeah. Dialogue. Storytelling.
Next time I'll just send you a message that says, fuck off. How about that? Y'all figure shit out on y'all.
Careful. That might be a crazy episode. Storytelling and context. I'd give this a B+. I think the story, in my opinion, it's a psychological horror that's kind of like a tragedy. You know, you watch someone actually become a killer throughout the movie. So I'd give it a B+.
Okay, Ashley.
I'm going with C again.
Okay. You don't want to elaborate?
Not really.
Okay. I'll give it a B. I think dialogue, it was definitely some funny, I don't know if it was intentional, but it was definitely some funny lines in this fucking film, most of which came from Anna Faris. I'm trying to remember her in other films.
All I think about is House Bunny and how much I love that movie and how much I love her. That's all I think about.
I'm trying to think of like some other films. Like, do she really just act like that, or she just played the same fucking character?
No, I feel like she's like that in real life. Kind of like Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
I don't think she act like that in real life.
Maybe not out in public, but like I think she do be acting like that for real.
Oh, I don't know. What's the movie she did with Chris Evans? What's Your Number? She didn't act like that in that movie.
I cannot really remember that
movie. I mean, she had like a little bit of it, but it wasn't like this film. She was just straight up just a ditz. But yeah, I give it a B, dialogue. What about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I could probably say a B as well. I mean, there definitely was some weird stuff, but I do agree that I definitely laughed a couple of times too. You know, there was some funny stuff. But yeah, overall a B.
Okay. Editing, Jill.
Obviously it's a slow burn movie, but I think it makes up for it as we get into the gruesome stuff. And I think that the slow burn part, the nonviolent part, I think it's important to help us establish an understanding of the character and everything. So I'll give us a B as well.
Okay. Ashley.
going with C again. Mm-hmm. While I do agree that, you know, all of the stuff leading up to it was necessary, I'm not a slow burn fan. I fuck people up. Just get to it. Like, if that's the type of movie I'm watching, I don't need an hour and a half of you doing all this other shit. Just get to it.
Okay. I'll give it a B minus. I do think they probably could have cut out one or two scenes. But, you know, I mean, it's a slow burn. It's just that type of film. You know, and like we've been saying, it kind of paid off at the end. So, I think the pacing was fine considering that it's a slow burn film. So, what about you, Jamie?
I'd probably say a B as well. I don't think, you know, that there's too much that could have been cut out, because I think for the most part we needed, you know, what we saw, like Joe said, to understand the character and to get to the ending. But I think with any movie, there probably is a scene or two that could be cut out, but I'm not sure what I would cut out if I was the editor.
I feel like maybe one of those scenes where she was at the damn laundromat or something.
Mm-hmm.
Something. Cinematography.
Cinematography. Does cinematography technically include like special effects? Is that like fall under the same thing? Or is that something else?
I think effects went under editing. Visual effects. Okay. Special effects.
Well, cinematography, I mean nothing like stood. What's up?
Oh, I was just gonna say cinematography, you know, lighting, setting, wardrobe.
Yeah, I mean, so nothing stood out to me like, oh wow, that's impressive. I mean, I think it was all right, so I'd give it a B minus.
Okay. Ashley.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way. There wasn't anything terrible where you point it out and be like, oh God, that was awful. Why'd they put that in there? So I guess it'd be.
Oh, you said you guess you give it a B?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying like going to continue after that. Sorry.
Nope.
For me, cinematography, I would give a C+. I do want to say the wardrobe, maybe it's just me, but when he had saw that she, it looked like she made her own clothes, and I was looking at her, I was like, she looked like Sally from fucking Nightmare Before Christmas, and I couldn't get that shit out of my head. That's kind of the only wardrobe thing that stuck out to me, but yeah, I give it a C+. What about you, Jamie?
For cinematography, I'd probably say like a B, because I think, you know, everything looked the way it should have for, you know, what we were trying to get out of the movie and the time period and everything.
Right.
So I think it all came together. Yeah.
Okay. Soundtrack, Jill.
I'm going to give the soundtrack the D. So
it's Jesus Christ. Why did you have to say it like that?
I'm depressed. We're about to go to work tomorrow.
Oh my God.
Why the fuck did you have to say it?
Because I couldn't help myself. I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I should be funny.
You're sitting here thinking about the D?
I should be funny. Motherfucker, you know that's not what I'm saying. I'm about to throw something at you in your own home. Anyway, nothing about the soundtrack stood out to me. I really couldn't even tell you, so it gets a D.
Okay. Ashley.
I'm going with NA because I don't remember a singular sound. Like
that too.
So you're giving it an A?
NA.
Oh, NA. Sorry, I misheard you.
I don't remember there being music. I don't remember any sound effects.
Is that allowed? Can we do NAs?
Yeah, you can.
Cool. I make that, the rules. So
that's better than
NA. NA.
That's better than a D.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
Well, no, because there are some movies.
No. Jesus Christ.
An NA. Oh, gosh. I wasn't even. I just caught on. No. I was about to say, because NA
I'm about
is,
done talking about this movie, so. Yeah.
It's getting late, and I got a shower and everything. So NA is better because, obviously, if you give the movie a D, that means, like, there was something wrong with the music. Maybe the cue when it came in was bad. I can name a movie or two that's like that, where the music just came in at shitty moments. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but this movie didn't have any music that really stuck out to me. So I give it an A.
Was there actually music in it?
I think there was in the beginning. Oh, okay. For sure. Yeah. And maybe
throughout, but it's just, it's not really, you know, it's not anything that jumps out at you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I will give it an A also just for that reason. So
that's a hard one to get a rating on because some movies just don't have a lot of.
Yeah. Jamie.
Yeah, I'd probably have to say the same thing because I know that there was music and I remember music, but nothing, you know, really stood out.
Right. Attraction. Joe.
I mean, I really don't, I guess, remember this. Well, hold on a second. A strong premise. let me read yours because I don't want to miss. I'm going to screw it up. Strong premise attracts audiences with an intriguing idea that motivates them. I mean, I really didn't know what this movie was about when I first watched it, when I went into it. So, I mean,
entertainment value. Is it good as far as entertainment?
I need to shorten down this fucking list. That's what you need to do. All right, entertainment value. Yeah, it kept me intrigued. Yeah, so I'd give it a B.
Ashley.
Wait, so what am I answering? Attraction or entertainment value?
Attraction. Entertainment value is under attraction.
But what if they're two different answers? Which one am I supposed to be saying?
Well, how about we say, what's attraction? What is that? Does it even say? I think you wrote it down here somewhere.
Then it says premise. A strong premise attracts audience.
Let me go to the index.
Okay. So for attraction, when you had the thing up on the screen and the little blurb about the movie, if I was looking for some shit to watch by myself, I would have been like, no. So I wouldn't, there's no attraction factor there. Entertainment value, I could give it a C. I wouldn't watch it again, but I giggled.
Attraction, I will give it a B+. I do think that it was enough there to kind of get you intrigued and, I think it was a lot of entertainment there just from all the weirdness and some of the funny lines and, you know, you're just kind of, you know, trying to figure out where is this going. So I think it was entertaining. So I'll give it a B+. Jamie.
So am I just doing entertainment or what was the other one?
Premise and entertainment value.
I don't know why I'm so confused.
premise and entertainment value goes under attraction.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to give it an A because I really like this movie. So.
Okay. Fear factor. Do y'all need me to explain that one to you?
Okay. Yeah, could you explain it, please? I don't understand. It's because fear factor can hit me in different ways. Because I mean, some movies don't have to be like jump scary. Some movies that like make you self reflect and maybe realize something that's horrifying about yourself or about, you know, other people or whatever. I mean, this movie, I guess I'd give it a B because I mean, it wasn't like really good, but it definitely was in a way scary in the sense of when you think about how, because I guess. I want to say, again, her upbringing's kind of what fucked her over and made her crazy. I mean, granted, she could have had issues before then, like psychological issues that were, you know, predetermined, so to speak. But, yeah, it's I think what makes it a little scary is there are people out there like that. So you never know who you're going to meet.
Right.
And you may become part of their doll collection or some shit like that. So I'm sorry. Yeah, B.
Yeah. Ashley.
D?
For a fear factor?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was anything, even psychologically, I mean,
somebody coming up to
it's
you.
It's a dark place inside my brain already. So like stuff like this doesn't do anything to deter me from being scared of stuff like that. So
I'll give it a C. Not really scary outside of her sniffing hands, which that would make me a little uneasy, but you know, it's not really scary at all. So Jamie, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's scary either. I think just, you know, knowing that someone, I mean, she's not normal, obviously, but that they could just have like a psychotic breakdown like that and then just kill people. That's the scary part, because we know that that stuff does happen in real life.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't really know how I would rate it, because it's not scary, but it's scary to think that things like that do happen.
Right.
I will make one observation that I did find kind of creepy, because you kind of know what's about to happen. When she decided that she was going to kill people, and she like dressed up and went and grabbed the cooler and went to like, you know, their houses and everything, her demeanor, the way she spoke and everything was completely different. Like, she was more confident in what she was doing and everything. She wasn't shy or anything. She was focused on who she was going to kill and everything. So that was kind of unnerving. So
yeah,
it's like she was in her comfort zone finally.
She had a psychotic break.
Yeah, but I don't think a psychotic break makes you go like from being shy to, oh, you're confident now, because you know exactly what you're about to do.
She went from May to Amy. That's what she did.
Amy.
That's what she called it.
That's right. I was there a reason why she named it Amy exactly?
Because she's a psychotic person.
Okay.
Well, I think it's because wasn't it from the ashtray that little girl made? Yes.
I guess
like that was broken. Yeah, it was broken into like three pieces, and you know, Amy obviously you can get from May, so
you
think that's
yam,
why.
Though. Yam. Yam.
Yeah. Kind of weird. Didn't she say yams in the movie?
Yams?
Did she?
I don't know.
She said something when she was talking about the one chick's legs.
Yam.
She said she didn't say legs the first time. She said you got some nice something, and it wasn't.
Oh yeah, she did. She said something. I don't know what she said.
I don't remember what it was.
Because the girl looked at her like, "The fuck is your problem?"
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
she said something. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, that's funny. Rewatch value.
C minus. It's not something I'm probably ever gonna watch again. I'm giving it a C minus just to be generous. It's just. It's a good movie, but it was worth watching, but it's just not one of my things. So,
Ashley?
Whatever Never Again is.
N-A.
No, I'd say D.
Okay, there we go.
N-A is zero. D is
D
zero.
D is giving it some hope. I don't want to give it any hope.
Yikes.
Damn. N-A is Never Again, by the way.
Okay.
We'll go with that. I will give it a B. Something I'll watch again. Not something I'll watch every year, but something I'll watch again. Kind of already seen it twice now. So it's entertaining enough for me to watch it again. So I'll give it a B. Jamie, what about you?
Yeah, I'd probably say a B as well. Like, I know it's something I'll watch again. I don't know when, but I would definitely watch it again.
Okay. Last but not least, the theme. I think we kind of talked about that.
Like the message and truth behind
the movie. I feel like we kind of talked about
that. I'd give this a B. I mean, I don't think I need to go into too any more detail about that. It had an interesting psychological horror aspect to it, so I'd give it a B.
Ashley?
Just going to stick with my C's. Very average, very basic. I don't have anything else.
Okay. I'll actually give it an A. Just because of the whole imperfection thing that I said earlier. I think that's what the message the movie was really trying to convey there. So I'll give it an A. What about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I would say an A as well. I like just the overall theme and concept of the movie.
Okay. That was our school of horror. Only two of us will watch this again. It's been a while since I've seen this film, but did anybody else think about American Mary? Or was that
I've
just
never me? Seen it.
I really? Saw the movie cover actually when I was looking this movie up. I think it came up as like one of the recommended movies. And it just from the cover itself, it looked disturbing, but I have never seen it.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I want to say, actually, I won't say anything. We're going to do that.
Okay.
Because I think it's another American Psycho situation. Okay. I think so. But I did think about that movie when watching this. So, yeah. Actually, have you seen it?
No, I don't know what that is.
It has the girl from Ginger Snaps.
Which one?
Isabella or Isabel.
The older sister or the younger one?
The older sister.
Okay, gotcha. Ginger, the one who
I think she was the older one.
The one who becomes the wolf.
Yeah, it was the older one. Yeah. Do we have anything else?
No.
No, unless you wanted to give like an overall rating of.
Oh, I think I said B most of the time. I'd say B.
I gave it B's, so I'll give it a B.
C for you, Ashley.
Yep. Because when I think of C, I just think very average. So, like, that's what I'm trying to base it on. I'm not saying it's terrible. It's definitely, it's for sure as fuck, without a doubt, not the worst movie we have ever talked about on here. But it's not phenomenal, so.
Uh-oh. What would that be?
It's a toss-up. Guys, it's a toss-up. We got The Burning on one side, and we got Sleepaway Camp on the other. They're going head-to-head, and they're both winning.
You hate both of those more than Tusk?
Tusk is not a horror film, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. It's like those two had a baby, and Tusk was the baby.
She's like the Gordon Ramsay of fucking horror films. She's that's fucking garbage. It's bullshit.
I will take that as the biggest compliment because I fucking love Gordon Ramsay. So.
Everybody loves him. Shit. Guys, they're awesome.
Okay. Well, do anybody have anything else?
Nope.
Movie recommendations?
I didn't have one, unfortunately.
Jamie, do you have one?
I don't have one either.
Well, 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 well. I can't remember if it was Joe or Jamie, but I feel like one of you guys recommended this film. Cherry Falls?
No, I have never seen that. I want to see it, but it's never streaming on anything.
Well.
Oh, I really want to see it.
That's my movie recommendation. Cherry Falls, I just watched that for the first time today. It was.
What did you watch it on?
AMC Plus.
I don't have that. Okay.
Like you signed up for another subscription service?
Yes. Yes, Mom.
Ew, get the fuck out of here.
What? You called me Daddy? I can't call you Mom.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, <boy. laughs> You need to edit that out.
The fuck you mean?
You need to edit that out. I don't. Oh, dear God.
Everybody does that. Come on.
You thought Leatherface was the first person you called Daddy? Come on, stop.
What? When did I call him Daddy?
You said, what did you call him? Big Daddy or
Mega Daddy?
Mega Daddy.
Daddy. Yeah, you call him Daddy. You've called the killers Daddy.
Yeah.
Ghost Daddy.
Because, remember listen, who was your I'm first about Daddy. To Pedro Pascal this shit. Daddy is a state of mind, okay? And they have that, okay? That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, remember.
Pedro Pascal, that shit? I know who that is. I just don't
you remember when
that.
He said that? It was like on a red carpet or something where everybody.
Joe is not watching okay, a listen, fucking after, Pedro Pascal.
Listen, after
red
the whole.
Carpet talking
after
about
the whole,
Daddy.
What is the show that we talked about?
The Last
for
of Us?
Yeah. Okay, so after that, everybody was obsessed with Pedro Pascal. It was Pedro everything, and everybody was simping very hard over him. And so everybody was calling him Daddy. And so somebody asked him about it on a red carpet thing, and he was like, Daddy is a state of mind. And so like I repeat that in my head sometimes because I think it's funny.
Jesus Christ. Anyways.
How did we just get here?
I don't know. I know how I'm leaving, though.
No, because you said something. No, oh, I said because okay, yeah. I said Mom. And
no, I was just saying that because, you know, you like to make your 17 different emails and then sign up for shit and then can't remember the login stuff. And then it's like charging you over and over.
I do that all the time. Cherry Falls. In the small town of Cherry Falls, a psychotic murderer is killing off the virgins of the local high school. That's the IMDb synopsis. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely... Why did you make that face?
Because the only thing you just said was killing virgins, and then you were like, I really enjoyed it.
The movie.
The fuck?
I was going to make another joke, but never mind. The movie was good. Came out in 1999. It definitely feels like a Scream film. I'll say that. There's some twists, some turns. Even how some of the scenes in the beginning of the film, it felt like Scream. What is funny?
I'm not laughing.
It looked like you.
Oh, I was rubbing in my lip stuff. Sorry.
I thought you was laughing. No. But no, like some of the scenes in the beginning of the film felt like when they were at the high school that Scream. So, it's definitely worth checking out. Again, it's on AMC Plus. It stars Brittany Murphy, Mayer. I can't remember. That's how you pronounce his name. Michael.
I think it's Bean.
Bean.
I think that's how you say it. Yeah.
He was in Terminator.
He's Terminator.
I mean, he's been in a bunch of shit.
Abyss. But, yeah, he's been a lot.
That's every time he came on screen, I'd start thinking about Terminator. So.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, it was a good film. I recommend that. And since you guys didn't have a recommendation, I'll give some more. Ripper, Letter from Hell, is a 2001 slasher film. The synopsis is a massacre survivor studies serial killers under a famous expert, but her classmates soon start dying at the hands of a Jack Ripper copycat. Not a bad film. It stars AJ Cook. She was the main girl in Final Destination 2. I think that was like the only recognizable person. Actually, the one more person I think was recognizable. He might have been in like a fucking Die Hard movie or some shit. I can't remember.
It was called Ripper from Hell.
Yeah, Ripper from Hell. Came out 2001. You can't find this shit.
Pretty sure he had to like go to the dark web to find it.
You can't find this shit any fucking where. Really? Like at all. you can't buy it on Amazon. You can't rent it any fucking where.
Is it like a banned movie?
No.
So how'd you watch it?
Well,
what okay. I'm having a hard time. I might not be Googling it right. What's it called? Ripper?
Ripper.
Okay.
And then if you put Letter from Hell, it should come up. 2001.
There we go. I'm about to say, it kept giving me From Hell with Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
I was like, no, that's what I'm talking about.
If you can find the picture of it, it gives off Scream vibes, urban legend vibes, you know. Gotcha. And it's worth a watch. They had a very interesting conversation about true crime and stuff like that at the beginning of the film that I really enjoyed. Because I kind of said that before, so it's worth a watch. If you want the link for that, you can ask me. I'll send it to you, and you can watch it for free.
You gonna get a virus on your?
No, devices. You're not. No, you're not. It actually popped up when you searched the film.
Oh, okay.
You just have to look around. Another film. I'll do one more. Venom, which came out 2005, also a slasher film. Synopsis is a group of teenagers fear for their lives in the swamps of Louisiana, chased by Mr. Jangles, a man possessed.
I thought we were heading towards like snakes. I didn't know we were going to that.
There's
shit.
Some snakes involved.
Okay, but there's I know there was a involved. Mr. Jangles. I thought it was like a. Jangles. Snakes in the swamp kind of thing. Kind of like snakes in the plane.
There's some snakes in the swamp.
I guess.
Happens. There's some stuff that happens. Okay. A man possessed by 13 evil souls and now relentless in his pursuit of new victims. again, worth the watch. At least watch one time, whatever. Again, this is another film that kind of give off I wouldn't say like Scream vibes, but I don't know what movie I'm thinking about right now, but 2005 era, like if you can kind of remember that, it was kind of like the type of horror films that was coming out around that time was like slashers anyway. It was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it stars quite a few people. I can't remember like the main people, but I remember Megan Good was in it. Method Man was in it. What's the guy from...
Wait, is that what you were watching earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
What was the guy from... I don't know the guy's actual name, but...
Richard Weber from Grey's Anatomy. I can't tell you his real name, but there's that.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Always here to help.
Jonathan Jackson. I know he was on Nashville, which was a pretty big show.
Was it?
Yeah. Has the person that you hate.
I know. I also don't know who Jonathan Jackson is, so it doesn't help me any.
He was in a fucking movie that I love. He was a kid in it. Camp Nowhere. I don't know if anybody's seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that. Just don't know which kid you're talking about.
He was the main kid.
Oh, okay.
That was a good movie. Okay. Has the one guy from Back to the Future in it. Anyway, yeah, that's all I got for movie recommendations. So Ripper, The Letter from Hell, which came out in 2001, Venom, which came out in 2005, and Cherry Falls, which came out in 1999, which is one I really, really recommend, especially if you like slashers, early 2000s, late 90s slashers. Cherry Falls is one to check out for sure. May have to add that to my yearly watch, that film. Outside of that, I think Joe mentioned that our next episode will be House on Haunted Hill, so the remake 1999 version.
Correct.
I'm sure we may mention some stuff about the original. Yeah. Or at least I will. So if you guys want to keep up, if you haven't seen it, I would check that out before our next episode comes out. Anybody got anything else?
Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us, share our shit. Come on. Make us famous.
Yeah.
Throw us some bones.
Well, that's not what I meant to press.
Might as well end it. You fucked it up. Just end it.
I fucked it up. You said throw some bones.
I said bones, not boners. Come on. Christ.
Get us off this episode.
I'm cranky. It's almost 9 o'clock.
Sorry, old man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I take that as a compliment.
And I have to wait for this to play out now.
There's no way to press the button and deactivate it? It doesn't work.
No. I don't know why that's the only button.
What if you press that another button? It'll cancel it out.
No, it'll just play during it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it'll just play at the same time.
Okay.
I really hate it. Oh, Jamie, I added a new button. You weren't here for I think it was a True Detective episode we did. I added a new button. I didn't get to play it today, but
you should have.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
You could have.
No, okay. Not for this film. No. It got to be something bad.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Yeah, anyways. Just remember that there is a thin line between horror movies and true crime. Good night.